Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, August 21st. Coming up today, we'll hear about a fundraising campaign to rebuild a forest school which was destroyed in a suspected arson attack in Folkestone. We'll also have an update on the lion from Ukraine who's been brought to live in Kent. But first, taking a look at our top story today, a Medway pub boss has issued a warning to teenagers after an arson attack caused thousands of pounds worth of damage. Three boys were caught on CCTV using a lighter to start a fire outside the coach and horses. It spread from garden furniture to artificial grass and fences. Our reporter Charlotte Phillips has been chatting to Steve Bassett, who runs the site.
It was a Sunday night going into Monday morning, so it was, you know, anywhere between sort of midnight and 1 o'clock. Shortly after we had just closed, we closed around about just before midnight on the Sunday. And then once everything had been locked up, then three people's, and the problem with the property is it's not completely fenced off. It's not the most secure property. Obviously, the building's secure, but the outside area, it'd be impossible to completely secure it down. And you know what? If someone wants to get into property, then they're going to get in there anyway. But it is quite accessible, and there might be something that we look at in the future. But essentially, three youths have turned up, clearly a bit bored. I mean, it's midnight on a Sunday. Someone should ask really probably why they're even out in the first place. But they're clearly looking to cause a little bit of trouble. And what's probably started as something a little bit just mischievous for themselves quickly got out of control. They've set fire to some furniture, which has then set fire to some more furniture. And because the flooring is artificial, it's artificial grass, that's caught fire as well. And then that's then spread to the neighbouring fence line and some of the other plants. And you know what? To be fair, fair play to one of the locals who backs onto the pub, Jamie Chambers. Good shout out to him, really, because he called the fire brigade pretty much when he could see the black smoke, and he probably could smell it as well. And the fire brigade were very good in response. I think within the call, they were there in less than 10 minutes. And they were able to put the fire out very quickly and stop it spreading from to the other fence lines as well. You've got five properties that will back onto there, one of them very close to the fence line. So obviously, if it had caught up, then there's, you know, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah. And when were you alerted? Did the neighbours call you, or did you not find out till the
morning? So I woke up to a couple of missed calls. Obviously, you know, by that time it was like nearly 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm long gone by then. So I woke up to that, and obviously my pub manager was there first thing in the morning and had seen the damage when they'd done the sort of the external sweep, and just sort of, I suppose, just you can't really believe it, can you really? Or do you start thinking, was it an accident? We've been having a lot of hot weather. It's quite dry out there. Has something caught fire? Has a cigarette caught? But, you know, we played the CCTV back, and it's one of the things I invested in quite heavily when we first took the pub over as a security measure to get good CCTV. And we always work in line with the local police, and we've got, you know, good surrounding CCTV as well. If they ever need any CCTV of the area or locally or on the streets. And we were able to see the images and capture the three kids that went up there and done the damage.
Yeah. So do they look like teenagers? Kids.
Oh yeah, I'm getting on a bit myself now, but you know, they definitely looked between 13 and 15. I wouldn't say they're even any older than that. So again, it's concerning really that children are out that late and able to create that much potentially that much damage.
Yeah. How much damage was made? What exactly?
Yeah, I mean, if I had to put a cost to it. You know, it was a fairly new rattan furniture set, which was about sort of £1,500, a couple of umbrellas, a bit of wooden furniture, and then the Astro. You know, you're looking at £3,000-£4,000 worth of damage, which, you know, in the grand scheme of things, isn't huge. But you know, we're a small business; it still needs to be repaired. Like I said, it could have been a lot worse. You know, it was very close to the fence line. Some of the panels were damaged. And that could have easily have spread onto the next house and the next house. And you know what? When a fire gets going, it doesn't stop for anyone really, and unless like the fire brigade come out to it, it'll, you know, they'll, it'll just keep moving and moving until it can't burn anything else.
Yeah.
So you know, we're grateful that it didn't spread, and you know, and I've just built a nice barbecue and pizza oven area as well, and it could have easier spread to that, and then mm-hmm. you'd have been looking at then like 20 grand's worth of damage. So you know, I'm sort of thankful for that, but at the same time, you know, just a little bit disappointed that, you know, that people can make that damage. And we've got a big charity event coming up this weekend as well, which that area will be used for, you know, a local lad, Jack Dolan, who unfortunately had a really bad accident recently. You've probably seen it in the press as well. And his mum actually works behind the bar. And we thought we'll do a bit for her and put a charity event on, obviously, the area that we're going to use. Now I've got to run around trying to get it looking nice for the weekend.
Police say they're investigating the blaze. You can see pictures and video footage in the story on our website.
Kent Online News.
A pedestrian has been flown to a London hospital with serious injuries after being hit by a lorry on the A2 near Canterbury. Emergency crews, including the air ambulance, were called to the Boughton Bypass yesterday evening. The road was closed in both directions, causing long delays in the area. A Kent couple are among six people missing after a luxury super yacht sank during a tornado off the coast of Sicily. Chairman of Morgan Stanley International Bank, Jonathan Bloomer, and his wife Judy live in Knockholt near Sevenoaks. They haven't been seen since the boat was hit by the storm on Monday. 15 people have been rescued, including a one-year-old girl. A teenager has been arrested after a police chase ended in a crash near Dartford. A car was seen driving on the wrong side of Crayford Road and collided with at least four vehicles last Thursday. The 17-year-old girl has been questioned on suspicion of driving without a licence or insurance and intent to supply cannabis. The Home Secretary has announced a plan to tackle the asylum crisis, including bringing in 100 new intelligence officers. Yvette Cooper's measures also include more immigration detention spaces and fast-tracking asylum applications. She says her priority is cracking down on the smuggling gangs, but Steve Smith from the refugee charity Care for Calais isn't convinced it's the right approach.
Practically, I don't see how it can work. And we know that deterrence doesn't work. It's a bit like prohibition. I always liken it to prohibition in the States in the 1920s. You make alcohol illegal so people find alternative ways of getting it. You tell people that crossing the channel is illegal, but desperate people seek desperate measures. So they fall into the hands of the people smugglers. They're now trying even more dangerous methods to get across. They're overcrowding the boats. They're moving to less safe crossing points along the channel coast. These are really desperate people who've been through the worst circumstances we can possibly imagine. So saying that the gangs will be smashed, it's complete fallacy. Only way to do this, in my view, is safe routes. You do not see Ukrainians or Hong Kong Chinese dying, drowning in the channel because they've got safe and regulated routes to come into the country. Let's face it, something like 75% of those who put in asylum claims are going to have their refugee status assured. So have some sort of offshore processing system. Have a visa that's allocated to give you a safe and regulated route into the country, and then go through the processing system, the asylum processing system, in a speedy and efficient way. To my view, that would put the people smugglers out of business overnight.
Figures show at least 720 asylum seekers have crossed the channel to Kent since Saturday. 13 small boats were detected. The total number of arrivals for the year so far stands at almost 20,000.
Kent Online News.
One person has been charged after two men were injured during a disturbance in Swanscombe. Police were called to London Road last Wednesday. The victims were taken to hospital and a machete was recovered at the scene. Ryan Holt, who's 23 and lives on Elm Road in Dartford, appeared in court yesterday. Two other men and a woman have been released on bail while inquiries continue. Police have given us a picture of a man they'd like to speak to after a child was bitten by a dog in Canterbury. It's believed the incident happened on a bus in Sturry Road on the evening of August 10th. The dog is described as being a black or brown Staffordshire Terrier type. The girl suffered cuts that are not thought to be serious. Now, fundraising efforts are underway to help a school in Folkestone rebuild their forest school after a suspected arson attack. Fire crews were called to Cheriton Primary last Thursday, but the outdoor learning area was completely destroyed. I spoke to Tommy Watman. He's a former student at the school and is organising the GoFundMe.
So luckily, it was only the forest school area because If you see on the maps and how the primary school is formed, there is a massive field where children go and play that is separates it from the actual main school building areas. So luckily, it was just that area that caught on fire. Even still, that place was fully kitted out. That's been fully built up from the ground. They had a massive fire pit that's been in the photos. There's been a grotto which we used for Santa last year for Christmas. Lovely area that was getting updated every other day with the children helping out as well. And seeing all the photos of it being burnt down, there's still smoke coming out. It truly was and still is quite a shock to me because it's just like, who would want to do that to a primary school? Who honestly would do that? It's truly horrifying.
For those that might not be aware, could you tell me a little bit about what Forest School is and the sorts of things that you do there?
Yeah, so Forest School basically is an area in the school where children go up around two classes or one class every other day. You probably in your class will go up around once or twice a week. And you learn things like geography facts, wildlife, wild animals, the nature world, basically. And you learn all that stuff while physically doing it. When I was there, we used to have like flint and steel stuff and used to make a little fire next to the fire pit. We learned all these little facts that I still remember to this day. And things like that, little things, there might not be much to some people, but in my eyes and the children's eyes, it opens a whole new world instead of being in just side of a classroom and learning off a whiteboard, which to me is quite boring. And being able to go up once a week or twice a week, or even during lunches and play days, it's just truly a really nice experience to be broken up the day as well.
And you mentioned before, I mean, you've still got really fond memories of your time at Forest.
Oh yeah, it's truly amazing. Quite literally, even now, as I'm about to go to university next month, I'm still looking back at primary school. I probably skipped my memories of secondary school. Go back straight to primary school because that's where my most fun days were at.
Now, as you said, it's such a shame now that there are classes, there are students at the school now that are missing out on that opportunities. And I yeah. think it was interesting what you said before about for you, it was obviously a place where you could learn about geography and nature and things like that. It was also a step outside of the classroom. You were no exactly longer that. In that classroom environment. You were outside and there are kids missing out on that now.
Yeah, it's truly mortifying in my eyes because as I was starting to go around year five and year six and it was starting to be formed into a proper class and a proper unit in our school life, I luckily was one of the last years in my eyes that truly got the best experience because now over 400 pupils now can't even have that core subject until it's been rebuilt. And that's not going to become, I don't even know the exact dates to be honest, because we've still got to wait for certain things to be confirmed. And then we've got to start getting rid of all the stuff that's already inside and start rebuilding it from the ground up again. And I hate the fact that we have to do that in the first place. No primary school, no school in general should be rebuilding stuff that got burned down by someone or some people. And it's truly a horrible mindset to be in. But I'm just lucky the fact that I got to experience it myself before I left primary school and secondary school.
Tommy's hoping to raise £10,000.
Kent Online News.
A former soldier who knocked down a cyclist while over the drink drive limit in Dover has been banned from the road for 20 months. Emma Fulliger claims she got in her van and drove off after a conversation in a pub about the conflict in the Middle East had triggered her PTSD. The 49-year-old who lives in Renfrewshire in Scotland admitted the offence and was also fined. Plans for an 800-home estate that will double the size of a village near Canterbury have been given the go-ahead. Some residents in Hursden have been fighting the proposals. They're worried about the loss of green space. Work on the new properties is due to start next year. A woman has been charged, accused of arson after a fire broke out in Swanscombe. Fire crews were called to a property on Church Road. Last Wednesday morning, three people had to be taken to hospital. Lydia Liz, who's 48 and lives on the road, is also accused of possessing a knife and causing grievous bodily harm. She'll remain in custody until a court appearance next month. The manager of a bar close to one of Kent's biggest concert venues has slammed rules that could stop him from playing background music. Ian Maxted is the boss of Sundowner in Margate. He wants to put one speaker on his terrace deck. The local bosses have recommended it be rejected. The bar is just down the road from Dreamland, which holds regular shows. Here's what Ian had to say.
Dreamland will put on Tom Jones, will put on Status Quo, will put on Ollie Murs, Madness, UB40 and so on and so forth. And they're great shows and great entertainment for people. It brings a massive amount of business into the area, but it also has an effect to the residents here in terms of noise and their peace and quiet. So I don't see how a little bit of background music on a terrace outside a bar is affecting Margate at any kind of level at all. Without having that background music, our clients will wander to other venues where there is music being played, and we will lose that trade, we will lose that business.
Now, here's Labour councillor Jack Packman. He's from Thanet District Council.
The kind of key message I'll be getting across is we've got to support our underrepresentation of, you know, groups in the area, such as the LGBTQIA plus community. And more importantly, actually, this is good for the local economy. You know, the terrace has wonderful views. It is a really good opportunity to demonstrate how beautiful Margate is.
A final decision will be made tonight.
Kent Online News.
A gypsy family who were hoping to make their home on a plot of land near Ashford could be left disappointed as there's a rival bid to turn it into a car park. An application was submitted last month for 4 caravans, a mobile home and welfare trailer on the former coal yard next to Pluckley Railway Station. But the landowner has now put in proposals for a 20-space car park and 5 new houses. Council bosses are due to make a decision in the coming weeks. Now head over to the main page of our website to see pictures of post boxes in Dartford, which have been repainted as chocolate wrappers. The boxes now resemble a Cadbury Whisper, Twirl and Mars bar, but it's not clear who the artist is. It comes just 6 months after a Dartford man was arrested for spray painting others to look like Mr. Blobby and a Cadbury cream egg. Now, KMFM's been hearing how a lion who's been transported to Kent from Ukraine has been settling in.
Yuna is just a little bit more reserved and shy. Understandably, she's just gone through quite a long journey. So we're letting her have time to settle and just take things at her pace, and we're just still getting to know her.
And I was told she hasn't seen a lot of different things because of her sort of... Actually, could I ask you about her conditions in Ukraine? What kind of conditions was she living in before she came here?
From what we know of her backstory, she was kept privately and basically kept in a small concrete enclosure. So she's got this lovely, great big space here at the sanctuary, and this will be her first time out on grass, with height and shelters and platforms. So it's going to be a slow build up to get her comfortable out there. But I'm sure she'll love it when she's out there.
Brilliant. And you mentioned, you know, she's never seen grass. What kind of accommodations are you making within the enclosure for her specifically?
So because we know that she's historically had some issues with the shell shock and concussion, we've got things like mounds, with gentle slopes that she can take herself up there nicely. There's no kind of steep drops, as it were. There is a platform, but she doesn't have access to it, and we'll just kind of build things up to the point where she's comfortable and it'll be safe for her to be able to go up there.
And are you hopeful that she'll eventually be just like any other lion?
Yeah, I think we're really hopeful that she's going to settle nicely. We'll do a lot of work, just taking it really slow at her pace. Build up her confidence, but build up her strength, and hopefully get her to a point where she's like any of the other lions.
Amazing. And what kind of things are you going to do to build up her confidence and her strength?
Just sitting quietly near her and offering things like food. Just keeping everything nice and calm, because she's had a lot go on in her short life. So just taking day by day with her.
That's Ricky Reno. He's a keeper at the Big Cat Sanctuary in Smarden, where Yuna is now living after travelling 1,400 miles. She was found malnourished and suffering concussion after the war began. She'll soon be joined by a male called Rory, who's also been rescued. Cam Whitnall is the Strategy and Development Manager. He's been telling the podcast about some of the challenges they faced bringing Yuna to the UK.
It was a very tough process, if I'm being honest. It took many months of communicating with multiple different teams to make sure it was safe. Everyone was on board. We had to look at the documents and all of the paperwork surrounding it, which took absolute months to organise. Working with multiple organisations like I4, who supported us through the whole thing, it was them that obviously were providing the immediate care of the 5 Lions and the Wild Animal Rescue Centre, where they were based in Kyiv, Ukraine. And then working to discover the temporary holding facilities where the 5 lions or 4 lions could go, and then also building all the logistics here. A lot went into it, but most importantly, it also came down to the general public. The support, them raising awareness, has helped this project and campaign massively.
And you're, I think, about 300,000 towards your 500,000 goal, what's that extra 200,000 sort of going to mean for Una and the other Lions? What's that going to go towards?
Yeah, so we launched an ambitious target of £500,000 towards getting the Lions out of Ukraine. Obviously, the transport costs are very expensive. Not only that, the veterinary care, the food, the water bills, and also building the Lion Rescue Centre, which is obviously a very expensive project. So the costs all go towards those things. And yeah, we're at around £325,000 so far. And then we just need to get that extra £175,000. And that will basically oversee that most of the project. I'll be honest, it's coming out a lot more than the £500,000, but all the donations are massively appreciated, and it's helping give these Lions a second chance at life, and they really do need it. They're severely traumatized, and the ongoing care and support that they're gonna need into the future is a massive one. So all help is really important for these lionesses and Rory, the male lion.
Kent Online News.
Plans for a Christmas market at Ashford Designer Outlet have been given the go-ahead. There were concerns the stalls could draw trade away from the town centre, but council bosses say it will have minimal impact. The event will feature 9 festive huts selling gourmet food and bespoke gifts from mid-November until Christmas Eve. And Strictly winner Joe McFadden is set to star in a Kent panto this year. He'll appear in Jack and the Beanstalk at the Central Theatre in Chatham for 4 weeks over the Christmas period. The show kicks off on December 12th. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.